Hello and welcome to Beheaded.
This is season 3, episode 10.
I'm Megan Moore.
And I'm Elizabeth Black.
And we do not support violence at the Oscars.
Ever. No punches, open-handed slaps.
But we are all about ready to talk about it.
But hey, it just happened and we got to talk about it.
I feel like everyone's talking about it.
How can you not? I'm sorry. What an asshole. You're so entitled. You just go up and punch someone. Slap, excuse me.
I'm sure everyone is like, by the time this episode is released, we're probably all like really tired of talking about it. But for us, it's still fresh. This just happened.
I watched it live. I know not everyone did. I watched the whole Oscars, including red carpet, live. And my, like, when I watched the broadcast, it like froze and the audio was muted. So I was like, what is happening with my TV? / is this a bit? Like, I thought it was a joke.
It's what everyone thought, right?
But it was pretty clear a couple minutes later. It was not.
If you watch the uncensored version.
We watched it before this because I told Megan, I was like, oh yeah, I watched the whole thing. I gave her my take and she's like, but have you seen the uncensored version? We watched it together. And that gave me like chills and like just so the awkward silence in the room. Because at first everyone's laughing because it's like, oh, they think it's a funny thing, you know, set up. And then it just went quiet once Will Smith was like
uncomfortable when he's screaming yelling. For those who live under a rock or in another country, maybe this isn't like the top of the conversation.
Well, it gets broadcast all over the world.
No, I know. I feel like this is worldwide news. Will Smith smacked the shit out of Chris Rock
and Chris Rock held his ground.
I was impressed, and that's why people thought that maybe it was staged, because
he just dealt with it so well.
He didn't even like touch his face or really flinch. I mean, he was uncomfortable afterwards, but as far as the physicalness of it goes, he held it.
He took a punch from Muhammad Ali, basically.
Oh my gosh.
If you remember, Will Smith played Ali in a movie. But I'm saying that's the difference in their statures, too. Like, Will Smith is someone that can play Muhammad Ali. He's that kind of big and intimidating. Obviously, he's not super jacked right now. He's older.
Chris Rock's a freaking zebra from that Madagascar movie.
Chris Rock is, an animated zebra / what was that movie, Head of State, where he gets elected, like, president. Like, he's just a small, slight comedian, you know?
I can personally attest to that because I was walking behind Chris Rock once inside of a parking structure.
Really? Where? Mm-hmm. In L.A.?
It was at the Taylor Swift concert.
Oh, he was there?
The 1989 concert, circa, when did that come out? 2014?
You know more than I do.
Yeah, probably 2014.
Is he a Swiftie?
I think he is. He came up on stage during, it was really, like, ill-fits segment.
And he had no security? He was just walking through the parking lot?
It was
lot?
Him, his wife, and, like, I think his daughter. I don't know if he has a had a kid.
Probably.
Like, a preteen at the time.
Yeah.
And we were walking in the parking structure, and he parked, like, VIP somewhere. But, like, the way that we met up was we were then walking through VIP to get to the front. And I was with a friend. My friend Erin. And shout out Erin. And she's so good at recognizing celebrities.
Oh, and I am so not.
They could be wearing a hat, a mask, and sunglasses, and she'll know who they are.
Really?
And I'm the opposite. And I'm
always like, that's not them.
I'm not discreet.
Yeah.
And she was trying to whisper to me, like, oh, that's Chris Rock. And I was like, what? And I was like, that's Chris Rock. And of course, we're in a parking structure and it just echoes. And he like looked behind.
And you could tell?
Oh, yeah. Oh. And then they kept walking. Obviously, they weren't going to entertain my.
He's like, I'm Chris Rock. Welcome.
That was the extent of my interaction with Chris Rock. He does seem short.
I did see him at a comedy show once, obviously his comedy show. And I was like third row. So that's pretty close.
That's close.
But I could tell, not a very large man, but he handled that like a champ. And just the way he spoke after that, you could tell he was, like, shaken up. But just powered through like a professional. And Will Smith's kind of an asshole.
They said Chris Rock's ticket sales for his stand-up went up, like, 70% that night or something like that.
I bet.
I feel like if Chris Rock knew that Jada Pinkett Smith has alopecia, that's kind of crossing the line of making a joke, because like a woman's hair. And also, didn't Chris Rock make that whole documentary about textured hair?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
I think it's called Good Hair.
Oh,
and
really?
It's about like African-American hair. And like it's a documentary about like African American and their relationship to hair. And
that's cool. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't follow Chris Rock super closely, but
makes a comment about G.I. Jane, which is a badass movie.
I was going to say, my whole thing is if someone compared me to G.I. Jane, what a huge compliment. Mm-hmm. If someone's like, oh, what are you going for, the Demi Moore look from G.I. Jane? You'd be like, oh my God, thank you. Like, if you've never seen G.I. Jane, highly recommend, because it is about like Demi Moore, like, going into the Army, or maybe it's Marine Corps, whatever it is, but she's just, like...
Or, like, Navy or something.
Yeah,
I think it's the Marine Corps.
I want to say so, because she's just so hardcore in it. But, obviously...
They should make a sequel.
Jada
should be in it.
Jada should be, like, they're both... And, like, Demi's gorgeous. She's badass. She's, like, the best one in her class. So, it's, like, to me, I've always been, like, very... I don't know. I love that
movie.
Appreciative. Yeah, appreciative. And, like, I'd be super flattered if someone said something like that to me. Obviously, if I'm sensitive about my hair and it's short, yeah, okay. But...
Crossing the line.
But it's the Oscars. Everyone gets made fun of for everything.
But who crossed the line more? Him making a joke or Will Smith getting on stage and committing an assault on someone on national live TV?
With no repercussions. Just like gets his Oscar.
Kind of chuckles afterwards.
Yeah. Like goes to the after party with Jada and they're just having the best time. I'm like, that man should be like... questioned or like taken
in. Everyone's
like,
afraid of him now.
Yeah, I know. Jimmy Kimmel
has a really, he did a really good bit right afterwards, the day after. Of course, like, how can you not talk about it?
Yeah.
And he has his favorite line, I think, I'm going to butcher, but something along the lines, if he's like, you know, Kanye West was like, look what he did on stage, me being the Swiftie that I am. Right. It's like all the Kanye jokes came up after this.
I definitely thought about you and Kanye and Taylor right after, because I was like, everyone thought whatever Kanye did to Taylor was awful, and it was.
It was awful.
It was mean-spirited, but he didn't physically assault her in front of everyone. Like, damn. That was just
he
wild.
He took it.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's going to be interesting to see how this pans out, like, just with Will Smith's career, and people are obviously taking sides.
Yeah.
I mean, I think most people are on the side of nonviolence, but you know.
Totally.
Some people are big Will Smith fans.
Well, and I mean, if you're Venus and Serena Williams, who, like, you know, are in the audience that night, and you're watching Will Smith, like, you know, he's kind of representing you and your family and, mm-hmm. like, your movie that you guys signed off on and now you're here supporting. It's such bad taste because it's, like, it's not about you, Will, and it's not about you, Jada. It's about the fact that you're getting best, you know, actor tonight for a movie that you made about the Williams sisters who are here with their family. Like, you're, in a way, part of their family for that evening, and you're just acting like a crazy person.
Like a fool.
Chill, well, dude.
I think that's the biggest part about it is nothing else in that night matters.
Yeah.
Because if you just Google Oscars 2022, the first thing that comes up is Will Smith.
Exactly.
Which is terrible for him, A, because winning Best Actor is a huge honor.
And he's never done it before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people aren't going to remember the night that he won. People are going to be like, oh, yeah, he slapped the shit out of Chris Rock and then he won.
Exactly.
And not only that, like, we were kind of talking, and I know there's been other articles about this, about the successes of women that night and having three all women hosts. And then
and the deaf community.
Yeah, the deaf community. They had a huge win. The first deaf actor won.
Right.
So all of that is down the poop chute because Will Smith decided to smack Chris Rock.
Decided to be a little outside of his boundaries. That was in recent news, so we just thought we had to address that because how can you not? It's just like...
Because everyone's talking about it in every single meme. You can't, like, pull up your phone. Actually, I think one of my favorite memes out of all of them was one where it was, like, I don't even remember. It was, like, a picture of someone, like... having a panic attack in the corner. Like, I don't know. It looks like they're not even a panic attack. It looks like they're, like, decompressing after a really hard fight or something. Okay. And they're like, after all the Will Smith memes that you've had to see today, like, take rest, Commander. Like, something like, you deserve a good rest tonight after all the memes you had to look
true.
At.
It's true. I feel like I was assaulted all day.
Oh, jeez. Speaking
of assaulting my body. Just kidding.
Yeah. How else have you assaulted your body recently?
Well, I did another marathon in the last 2 weeks. I know. And as you guys know, I mean, spring is my marathon season. I've talked about this before. But I did Atlanta. I talked about it on our last episode. And this last one I just did was Asheville, North Carolina. Never been there before. Not super my scene because, as you guys know, I love alcohol. But what? I don't love beer so much. And, like, Asheville's very much a brewery place. So it's just, like, all these trendy warehouses and, like, beer gardens and breweries. And just – that's not – like, I don't – get excited about beer. I know a lot of people love beer, and hey, I love cider. But, you know, I like wine. I like bourbon. I like whiskey. Like, I like a lot of hard liquor. A lot of hard liquor. No, but I'm just
we're fine.
But I'm fine.
We're fine.
We're sipping our vodka over here. You know, but it was just one of those things where, like, hey, it's all right. But I will say, the Biltmore Estate. Mm. Oh my Tell goodness. Us. So if you don't know anything about the Biltmore Estate, it's basically this huge manor that's, like, kind of in the outskirts of Asheville. And it was built by George Vanderbilt, like, circa 1880s. Mm-hmm. And he built it just as, like, a private estate for his family. And it originally was, like, 100,000 acres. Now it's reduced to, like, 8,000. He sold all these, you know, parts of it. And now it's just, like, a mere 8,000. The marathon was actually supposed to be at the Biltmore Estate, like, on the grounds. Due to COVID, of course, because that's still happening. They made us go to downtown Asheville. So I didn't actually get to run on the property, but I got to tour it. What's the difference? The difference between Asheville and the Biltmore Estate?
No, the difference between running on the course versus walking around on the course leisurely, breathing on everyone.
Exactly. And that's what I thought, because when they first said, oh, it's like the marathon's moved, I was like, great, the estate shut down. Like, I can't even go there. No, false. There's still a huge line to get into the estate. Everyone touring the estate. There's a winery right next to the estate. There's, like, a Monet and Friends exhibit on the property. So literally there's just as many people there, like, touring it and being around each other. And
it's a convenience thing.
Yeah, exactly. But besides all that, the estate itself is truly amazing. And obviously, like, those of you who are in Europe or European listeners, like, you guys are spoiled because you have castles and estates and things like that over there. Like, in America, we really don't. We have what? The White House. Like, what's the one in California?
Hertz Castle.
Yeah, Hertz Castle.
Which isn't even old. That's 1920s.
Right. So, like, everything here is not as historic, not as big and vast. But George Vanderbilt obviously made this to, like, mm-hmm. wow people.
Like, maybe the East Coast has some cool things. Like, I grew up in New Hampshire, so, like, that kind of stuff, but still,
like, the
really,
historic stuff.
Really, yeah. Nothing is pre-1700s that's standing. Exactly. Maybe a few buildings, but.
Right. Yeah, and even the ones that are deal. Here, like, the you know, when America was first created, it was more about, like, the modesty of it. Like, they didn't want monarchs. They didn't want this, like, grandiose lifestyle. It was very colonial and smaller scale. So I think in terms of America, and this is, I think, I don't know if it's the world or America, so sorry if I butcher this, but it is the largest private estate.
Oh, wow.
I guess that's in the country. But yeah, so it's
that's
huge.
Cool.
Yeah, and, like, I'm going to post some pictures of it, like, on my story on Instagram, but it's just, like, I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah.
I was just doing all the – you know how, like, self-guided tours are usually so boring? Like, you have that stupid little audio mm-hmm. headset thing, and they just guide you room through room. This was actually, like, fascinating. Like, everything I was, like, so into, and I was just taking a million pictures. And it's so – if you've watched Downton Abbey, like, so Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, the upstairs is so grand, and it's the parlor, and it's the breakfast room, and it's the dining hall. And then they take you downstairs, not they, you take yourself downstairs. It's like a self-guided tour. And in the downstairs, there is a huge indoor swimming pool. And fun fact, like, I didn't know this until I got there, but I guess they said a lot of people in, like, the late 1800s didn't know how to swim very well mm-hmm. because all they have is the ocean. There's not a lot of, like, public swimming pools. So they only know how to, like, wade in the ocean and, like, maybe swim a little in the ocean.
In a bathtub.
Yeah, or, like, they're in a bathtub. So this was literally built, like, you know, like a descending, like, decline, you know, and they just kind of wade into the water. And when they get to the deep end, there's, like, these ropes that literally look like nooses.
I need this.
That they hold on to because no one can, like, swim in the deep end.
I would actually really enjoy that because I'm not a good swimmer.
I am not a good swimmer either. So I was like, that makes sense. I would hang hang onto this rope while I just hang out in the water.
Is it it's indoor?
Yeah, it's all indoors. And it was like the first indoor swimming pool to have like underground like lighting.
Oh, cool.
So it's like these old kind of, you know, like almost Edison light bulbs kind of poking
lights underwater.
Out. Exactly. So it was so cool. They have this Halloween room, which is like decorated like floor to ceiling with all these murals where they would host like fun parties, like costume parties and stuff. And then in the basement, obviously, they have like servants quarters. So like I said, very Downton Abbey, where it's like, here's where the servants ate, here's where they where their bedrooms were. And they kind of said it like, hey, this wasn't a bad gig to have. Like if you were a servant, it wasn't like you were super lowly. It was like if you lived in the North Carolina area, here's George Vanderbilt paying New York wages mm-hmm. for you to live on property in this giant estate, have your own room where
just
maybe
to dust.
Yeah. Like maybe you come from a family where you have to share rooms with siblings and now you get your own bedroom. And
you wear
yeah,
a cute
like
little maid outfit, right. Like a little duster.
Right. You could like run around, you dust.
I know they
the
did
meals.
More than dusting. I know I, that.
Obviously. Yeah.
You know, they
but,
actually cleaned and.
Right. But it was actually
work.
Like such a coveted role in the community that there are still to this day like generations of people that have been in service of the Biltmore community.
Really?
Because they just treat them so well. And it's like a good job. It's like,
that's
you know.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I would
so
work there.
It was cool. And then seeing the kitchen, it's so Miss Padmore, you know. I could just picture Miss Padmore and Daisy sitting there like prepping everything on these big tables and
this huge
prep stations. Yeah. And the pantries and the refrigerators. Like they were the first estate to have like walk-in refrigerators.
That's crazy.
So it was just, again, I'll post pictures because it's just so, so cool. But out of everything in Asheville, I would go back again just to see that. And I would see it over and over. Like, I want to see it in the summer.
Do they do membership passes?
They do.
Oh, well,
they've already emailed me. Trust me. They have me pegged. They're like, you look like you're someone interested in an annual membership. I'm like,
in North Carolina?
I am. I would love to go back for Christmas, see all the change of season. So highly, highly recommend. Again, I'll post some pics, but it's worth seeing.
So we have an Italian execution.
We do.
I have to preface with saying I'm very disappointed in ourselves.
For our lack of Italian food tonight.
We should have been about like the mozzarella, the Italian wine, the bruschetta, the yes. raviolis.
The burrata, pizzas. Oh, sensitive subject.
Oh, do not talk about pizza. I'm so turned off in
we
pizza
don't
right
talk
now.
About pizza. No, no.
Okay, I know we need to get to the episode.
We
but,
will.
But
we
really
might cut
quick,
some of this.
Really quick. Jake and I have been on a health kick. Let me start with saying this.
Yes.
We're going on vacation to England in a month,
yeah.
which I think I've mentioned. But if not, we'll come back to that another yeah. episode. Anyways, yeah. I'm going on vacation. And my goal is to lose just a little bit of weight so then I can eat all the calories in the world.
Yes.
And then gain weight.
Be right back where you are. Yeah.
So anyways, I feel like me being a 30-something-year-old female, a lot of people can relate to this. Anyways, on a health kick. Jake talks me into ordering pizza on Sunday night, and I'm going back and forth, like, subconsciously, and I'm like, okay, fine, I will eat pizza. I'm verbalizing to him my strategy. I was like, okay, I played a lot of tennis today. I was like, pizza's only 200 calories a slice if you just do cheese with a veggie on it.
Yeah.
And I can have two, maybe three pieces and, you know, enjoy myself a little bit.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, that's good.
And you didn't eat, like, the rest of the day until the pizza showed up.
Well, I mean, I ate. I ate normally, breakfast,
but
lunch,
like,
and everything.
Yeah, but you were waiting for the
it
pizza.
It was also Oscars night, so I yes. felt like there was a longer delay than normal. And it wasn't until, like, almost 8 o'clock the pizza finally shows up. And I was trying not to eat so I can – I'm like, okay, I'm going to have, like, 3-4 slices at this point.
Ooh.
I open the box. It's deep dish.
No.
Who orders deep dish pizza these days?
Psychopaths.
It's like triple the calories, yeah. triple the oil, triple the carbs, the crust, everything.
Well, and you were so clear. Like, you told him your 200 calorie a slice strategy.
Being strategic.
Is like a 700 like calorie slice at that point.
I held it up in front of him. Like, I grabbed a piece of the corner of the slice.
Like, repulsed, just
and I
hanging
dangled
in the air.
It. And I was just like, what is this? It's like, it's deep dish. And I said, I want to throw this pizza in your face right now.
What did you do?
And anyways, pizza is a sensitive subject for us right now. In the morning, I apologize for my behavior. And then I realized neither of us
are truly sorry
yeah. because we like restarted the argument all over again because Jake actually believes that the default is deep dish pizza and you need to request
have it not be deep dish. So, well, and to be fair, because Megan told me this story first, and I totally was, you know, Megan's my friend. I took Megan's side. I was like, you're right. Like, no one thinks deep dish is the default pizza. So Jake came in the room, and I was like, Jake, do you think deep dish is the default pizza? Like, when I
this
order.
This is the ongoing argument. Yeah. 3 days in our household. And this has been all it's
okay,
been
to be fair and to play devil's advocate, and I'll be on Jake's side on this, he says, I know it's not the default pizza of choice for most people, but Megan knows that I like deep dish, so it is my default. And then they got in this whole thing of like, when did you order deep dish last?
He's like,
Halloween. And she's like, yeah, you did. And it was just so funny to see them just banter between, like, when did you last get pizza? Like,
also, I guess in his defense, I was kind of tagging onto his pizza. Like, he was like, I'm ordering pizza. And I was like, okay, I might have a slice or two.
Right.
And he's like, okay, what do you want on your half? I felt like that would have been a good opportunity for effective communication to be, by the way, it's going to be deep dish.
What's funny to me is you guys have been together like over 10 years at this point, right?
We've been together for 14 years.
Yeah. And then like married 10.
I was a child. Yeah. When we got together.
She was a baby. But you would think in 14 years of like knowing each other.
We still argue over the pettiest things.
Well, no, not even that. But like you think you would know how the other person takes their pizza. Mm. So like you think you would have to be like, okay, Jake, I know you like deep dish. We're not going to do deep dish tonight because I'm really trying to eat a few slices.
Hand toss.
Yeah.
Probably thin crust, so, but I'll go with hand toss.
That's what I find most funny is he's like, you know me. You know I like deep dish. And you're like, no, I don't.
The worst of all of this, and he does listen to all the episodes. So
I'm taking it delicately.
He might be listening to this. So hopefully at this point we've concluded our argument by the time this goes live.
So
and
Megan
in production.
Wins. Megan wins the argument.
I had half of a slice and it was so damn good. So good.
We're going to edit that part out. He doesn't need to know that.
Just take that part out.
He doesn't need to know that.
Anyways, we are like way going over.
That's okay. It was all important
pizza,
things.
Pizza. Pazzi.
Pazzi.
Italians.
Italians. Medici's.
Execution.
Florence.
Hangings. It's like the word game.
Decapitation.
Again. Okay.
But now it's a clue game. Like, what are we talking about?
I think we said Pazzi and Medici. So it must be the Pazzi conspiracy.
We're talking about the Pazzi conspiracy today.
Italian episode.
This is a good one.
I like this one.
I've always been intrigued by the Medici family. Like, just because I didn't know so much about them. I knew they were mostly in Florence, like in power for a very long time. Like, had a lot of popes come from their family, couple queens come from their family, just highly influential and very mysterious. Like anything I've learned about Catherine de' Medici, which was queen consort of France, she like was into the occult and like very just had all these devious ways about her and always kind of got what she wanted in court.
Wait, this just went full circle in my brain.
From Rain?
Catherine de' Medici is the wife of
King Henry.
Mary, Queen of Scots's father-in-law, which I could also say.
I was going to say, let's say that in a different way.
Mary, Queen of Scots's mother-in-law.
Yes, Mary, Queen of Scots's mother-in-law.
Is Catherine de' Medici.
Is Catherine de' Medici.
Who is part of the family.
Correct.
That we are now going to talk about.
Yes.
Who executes everybody.
Yes.
Yay, we did it.
Congratulations.
Okay,
yes.
Let's do it.
So if you've seen, excited. If you know anything about Mary, Queen of Scots, which we have a whole episode on her, season one.
If you know anything, season one, episodes
13, part 1 and part 2. And also, again, I mentioned Rain. I don't know why I keep mentioning Rain, just because,
I don't know.
It's a terrible show. But I could not watch it.
I could easily stop watching it.
I could. I had to finish. But Catherine de' Medici is a very interesting character in that show. Anyway, so I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a background on who the Medicis are, and we're going to talk about what the Pazzi conspiracy was, because essentially what this was a plot by members of the Pazzi family in Florence to really displace the Medici family, like to kind of knock them off their pedestal and try to assume power of Florence, which, good
Does
luck.
It work?
Good fucking luck with that. They're the Medicis. So to give you guys a little bit of background, so the Medicis really were like a mostly farm agricultural kind of family who like their name first kind of circulates in the like 1100s, 1200s, but no one really knows who they are. It's not until like the early 1400s, about 1434, that they take power of Florence. And they think that they did this in a way where like it was first agriculture, then they got really into wool and textiles. So the first time they made money as a family was through textiles. And at a certain point, they had so much money that they actually got into banking. They got a lot of political influence and started taking political positions in Florence. So they became really known in the early 1400s as this powerful family who were bankers. There was like the Bank of Medici, which is kind of crazy.
Bank of Medici.
Yeah, not the House of Gucci, Bank of Medici.
Bank of America.
I know. I always think about like that. Like, was that just a, like Wells Fargo technically was just literally a wagon.
Privately owned.
Yeah. So it's interesting to think about the origins of these big conglomerates. Anyway. So they wanted to make it clear to people, though, that they were not monarchs. Like, they didn't go around calling themselves Emperor of Florence or, like, you know, like princes and princesses and dukes and duchesses. Everything was very, like, we're citizens. We're simply, like, merchants who have come to power in a very humble way. But at the same time, even though they have these humble origins, like, they know. They know that they're the ones in power. They know they have a lot of influence. And I think people really admired that type of charisma where it wasn't like, here are the Medicis just thinking they're like amazing and like throwing power in our face.
Feel like this is like the Kardashians.
Yeah, it was kind of in a Kardashian way. Like, you don't know how they're famous. And whether or not you like them, you can't deny that they're just like powerful.
And they're present all the time.
They're always there.
Their name is kind of on everything.
And their family keeps fucking growing.
And you just keep respecting them, but also disrespecting them all at the same time.
You like don't really get it, but over the years you kind of are forced to be like, yeah, like they just, I don't know how they have so much power and influence, but they do.
They're not royalty, but they're pretty darn important and nobody knows why.
Exactly. So that's a very good parallel of like, they're like the Kardashians of this era, except they have jobs. I'm just kidding.
Oh, shit. Oh. You need to work harder.
You need to work harder.
Just work hard.
But another good thing that they did, aside from, again, all their important political positions and their role in the banking industry, is that they really helped, like, usher in the Renaissance. Mm. They, because of, you know, the money that they had, they really supported a lot of kind of art and humanitarian causes, or not humanitarian, like humanism causes, really. So they were patrons of Leonardo da Vinci, of Michelangelo, of Raphael. Not the Ninja Turtles, like the actual ones in history.
Botticelli,
Galileo, Machiavelli, like all these people that we identify with the Italian Renaissance were heavily funded and supported by the Medici family. Like they were in the background saying like, hey, like, yeah, you know, a lot of artists get paid on commission once they sell a piece.
Yeah.
But we're going to give you money before you even produce something because we know how much talent you
they're
have.
They're funding arts, like everything progressive that came with the Renaissance era.
Yeah.
Their name and their checkbook. Their little wallets behind it.
They even said that the Medicis helped like the invention of the piano and of the opera. Like, they funded those
things.
And they said that they funded...
Sorry, I'm just going to say everything in Italian
you
phrases.
You should. That's what we need to do tonight.
Mm-hmm.
With our vodka, which is not Italian at all.
And our Chipotle.
Support Ukraine. and our Chipotle. You're right. We did have Chipotle. We're all over the place tonight.
Very cultural.
But yeah, we're just accepting of all. But they also funded the St. Peter's Basilica, which is what you see at the Vatican. That's like where the Pope lives, like funded by the Medici family.
Is there a little plaque like this made possible by the Medici family? All proceeds are
XOXO Kim Kardashian.
All proceeds are going to the Medici family.
Exactly. So that's a little bit of their background.
So in comes Pope Sixtus the Fourth.
Right.
Not, I really want to say Pope Sixtus the Fourth.
Feels right.
He's the new pope in power around this time. And we're talking about Renaissance, kind of the late 1400s, early 1470s.
Mm-hmm.
He is kind of a, like, farmer, kind of a nobody, kind of like a low life, and eventually becomes
low life. Ooh, becomes a pope.
He gets power, he gets wealth, he becomes the pope, and he really passes along a lot of this power and wealth to his family. He's got nephews that he's making into cardinals. He's turning them into prefects of Rome. And one of his quote unquote nephews, which may have also been his son, but mm-hmm. being the Pope, that was not allowed.
Not allowed.
His name is Girolamo Rirario.
Perfect.
Rirario. I just say it with a tune, and I kind of sing the song.
Yeah. Rirario.
So Rirario wants to purchase a town, and it's an important town because it's on a really important trade route. He's offering 40,000, basically like Florence dollars.
He's actually giving Venetian dollars.
Okay, thank you. Yeah,
because he's from Venice.
So he's offering 40,000 Venetian dollars for this town. Meanwhile, Lorenzo de' Medici, he's a very important player in our story.
Yes.
Obviously a part of the Medici family who, as Elizabeth had just explained, is the power of Florence. He also wants to buy this land, and he's offering 100,000 Florence dollars.
Right.
However, Florence dollars and Venetian dollars at this time are basically the same.
Yeah, it's like the same value.
Currency exchange rate is basically parallel.
Mm-hmm.
They are purchasing this from the Duke of Milan, and the Duke of Milan decides to sell it to Pope Sixtus and his quote-unquote nephew. However, he throws in a little deal, and he says, I'll take your 40,000, but you also need to marry, as in Rirario, needs to marry my illegitimate daughter. So we've now got this quote-unquote possibly illegitimate son marrying an illegitimate daughter.
Perfect.
And this is the start of the friction between the Pazzis and the Medicis.
Right.
And you might ask, okay, how are the Pazzis getting into this at this, you know, because it's now against Sixtus and the Pope and his family and Lorenzo with the Medicis. So they're saying, okay, you will buy this from Sixtus, but the Medici family needs to fund it. But they were just denied the town that they're trying to buy. So they're like, why would I financially support this decision that you're like, making me put my money into, but I'm not getting it?
Right. You're going to the bank and you're like, okay, now I need the funds to purchase this. I don't actually have 40,000, you know, Venetian dollars. And you're going to the Medicis and they're like, no.
No, thank you.
We're not going to finance this. They refuse. Yeah.
This is where the friction starts.
Yes.
There's also some little side story about how they got an Archbishop of Florence in there that they didn't really want or yada, yada, yada.
They being the Medicis, like, put them in power. Yeah.
But I think the real friction of it was this whole, like, land purchasing situation.
Right.
Where the Medicis got turned down and they're like, fund me. And they said no.
Right. And the Pazzis are just overall kind of jealous of the Medicis anyway.
Yeah.
Like, these are the big kids on the block. Like, these are the kids that have the most money. Again, they're the Kardashians. So if you're a family that's aspiring to be the Kardashians and, you know, they refuse to finance an operation of yours, like, yeah, it's going to cause some tension.
So they go to the Pazzis to now support them. So there's kind of two banks going on, the Medici Bank and the Pazzi Bank.
Mm-hmm.
That's where our trife begins.
Exactly.
So there's three main characters who are now participating in the plan to assassinate. They are going to assassinate Lorenzo de' Medici and his brother Giuliano.
Mm.
It is now Rirario, who's the one who was a part of this whole plan deal, the buying of the land, Francesco Salviati and Francesco de' Pazzi.
Right.
And their plan is, to assassinate these two brothers and just take them out. And the Pazzis are going to become the new number one family.
Exactly. And they kind of go to the Pope at this time, who is, again, Sixtus. And they tell him, like, hey, you know, we're thinking of taking out Lorenzo and his brother Giuliani. And the Pope gives them this very carefully worded answer of, like, you know, as a son of God. I have someone who's like here, you know, on God's behalf on earth.
Holy.
I'm very holy. I cannot support the killing of any person on earth. That being said, if
great preface.
For whatever reason the Medicis did exit the earth tomorrow, I'm okay with that. I would look kindly on whoever did that, and there would really be no repercussions on the person that carried something like that out.
He basically said, do what you deem necessary, and I will support you, but I'm a holy man, but and I'm I do not support killing.
Exactly.
It's just so backwards.
Like, can't give my sign of support, but I got your back kind of thing.
Wink, wink, wink.
Exactly. So finally, like, the Pazzi clan kind of gets together, and on August 25th, 1478, they all get together at the head of the Pazzi family's home, and his name is Jacopo Pazzi. So he's hosting this night, the eve before they plan to do it, and obviously you've got the three main characters there, Sixtus's son slash nephew.
Rario.
Saul Viati and Francisco de Pazzi, and they're all there talking about what they're going to do, how this is going to take place, and they think the most obvious way to do this, which is interesting to me, but they decide to do it at Mass the following day.
Very public.
On Sunday, yeah. Some people think it was Easter Sunday. There's not really much account of that or, like, legitimacy to that, so I think it was just a random Sunday in April 26th, which was the next day, and they decide to do this at the Florence Cathedral, which is called the Duomo. If you've ever been to Florence, it's literally the main thing in town, like the main attraction. It's huge, and it's so big that there's like 10,000 people in attendance.
Oh my goodness.
I know. I'll post a picture of it. I went with Robbie in 2019. It's quite beautiful. They say, okay, the signal is once the priest goes through communion and presents, like, the body of Christ, like, holds the bread in the air, which is also called the host. Once they hold the host in the air, then that's when we're going to do something. And who knows what they exactly discussed, whether it was the entire Medici family they were going to take out, whether it was specifically Lorenzo and Giuliani, whether it was people who were a part of the political parties that existed. They just knew that this is where things were going to go down, and maybe because of the sheer number of people, they could kind of get away with it and just kind of cause, like, crazy chaos in the church.
Oh no.
I know. So High Mass comes the next day, which I'd like to know what time it was. I feel like maybe church was longer in this era. I go to church for an hour and I'm like, all right, we're done. They go to church and they decide once again the body of Christ is hoisted up above the crowd to attack. So both Lorenzo and Giuliani are attacked at the same time. Lorenzo is kind of, like, cut along his neck a bit. It looks worse than it is because he's, like, bleeding out everywhere. He's holding his wound. And then he's rushed to the preparation room, the vestry, which is where they hold, again, the wine and the communion bread. And they kind of take him to this, like, sacred room to hold him there for a bit. And then he heads home once he feels like he's safe enough to do so. But Giuliano, his brother, is just killed in cold blood. He is stabbed 19 times. Oof. By both Francesco de Pazzi and by someone called, and this is a long name, long Italian name, but Bernardo Bandini de Baroncelli.
I like it.
Right?
Lots of BBB.
BBB. So,
A plus rating.
B squared, yeah. B squared and Francesco just attack Giuliano. And so they stab him. There's no way he survives. A lot of forensic specialists have said that it might have been head trauma where he actually died. So maybe they kind of bashed him in the head first. So hopefully he died quick versus after being stabbed 19 times. But they go after him. So finally, they're, you know, amidst all this chaos, Salviati, who's one of the conspirators, leaves and he tries to take control of the Palazzo della Signore, which is like their town hall area. But he's unsuccessful. I think they legitimately thought that, like, the people of Florence would be on their side. Like, once they saw, oh, great, we're all rising up against the Medicis, like, they'd be on board. And it kind of reminds me of our last episode with Robert Devereux.
Oh, it does. You know, it's did anybody discuss this with them? Did they feel the room before going into a complete revolution?
Right. Did they ask anyone? They take a survey.
Did they realize that less than 50% is not on their side? So maybe don't try to overtake the entire city.
Exactly. So just like Robert Devereux trying to get the people of London to, like, revolt against Queen Elizabeth.
Guys, we got this.
And nobody would go with him. Everyone's basically
shutting their windows.
Yeah, basically the same thing. Instead, people were like, we like the Medicis. Like, we have no beef with the Medicis. Like, we now have beef with you. Mm-hmm. So kind of a mob breaks out against the people who were conspiring against the Medicis. So that day, they captured a lot of these conspirators. They actually took Salviati and they hanged him from a window in the palazzo, and they just, like, let him rot there. Like, didn't hang him to die and then bury him. Like, hanged him and then just let him decompose in the window. And on that day alone, they said that 30 people of the conspirating party were killed just by the angry mob, like, rising up to defend the Medicis.
There was a lot that happened on that day.
Yeah.
Renato De Pazzi, he got lynched.
Yeah.
Which Elizabeth and I had a little side discussion about lynching versus hanging.
I was like, well, isn't that just hanged?
My understanding is lynching is an informal process created by a mob.
That makes more sense.
While that's why I really want to know more about Salviati.
Right.
Because I want to know what did that, like, who hanged him? And
like, was there any kind of process or was it just a mob style?
Yeah, it was
killing.
There was no, from what I did not read one thing about a trial.
No.
In any of this.
No.
And I guess it's pretty cut and dry when you see someone with a knife coming at someone else and you know who did it. Like,
right.
Going back to Will Smith, like, okay, it's on camera. Will Smith.
Perfect segue.
He was
the perpetrator.
Yeah, and Chris is the victim.
Right.
But I didn't read one thing about a trial. Did you?
No. And I think because of their positions in society and the fact that they were in politics, like, it was kind of assumed, like, these people are traitors, they're treasonous. You see them, like, you kill them on sight or you capture them and then Medici's will execute them. So a little bit different than our normal, episode in terms of there's no trial, but they are still executions because there is, like, a clear reason why they're being killed.
It's just kind of more on a mass level,
and it's
I suppose.
On a mass level, yeah. And it's just, like, a weird assumed thing of, like, hey, you conspired. All these politicians are out to get you. They find you.
Yeah. Jacopo, again, the head of the Pazzi house.
Mm-hmm.
And they really have to blame this guy because the meeting was held at his house the night before. And
right.
even though he wasn't personally the one assaulting the Medici's, clearly he's to blame.
Right.
He actually gets away and he escapes.
Yes.
But he's caught. He's caught. He's tortured. And he's hanged.
Right.
He's hanged next to the rotting body of Salviati.
Oof.
So,
Dies next to his friend.
A statement to make, right? Yeah, next to his kin.
Mm-hmm.
They bury him. But they decide that he's not worthy of a burial.
Right.
Elizabeth, why don't you share this fun part?
Okay.
It's my favorite part.
So like Megan said, he's buried at this place called the Santa Croce Church, which again, people were like, what? You're giving him like a proper burial in a Catholic church? Like he's a traitor. This is not okay. So, and just a side note, like Lorenzo throughout all of this is kind of imploring people not to avenge him and avenge his family. But I think that's also just like Pope Sixtus, kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't condone this. I don't want you all to go out there in the streets and kill on my behalf. But whatever happens, happens.
Do what you deem necessary.
And I'm sure the Medicis have their own kind of henchmen, cronies kind of wandering the streets looking for these people too. So again, no real trial, like formal process, but I think it's assumed like we find you, we kill you, and you know why you're dying. So I won't say poor, but Jacopo is dug up. He's then, his body, he's already dead, right? But his body is...
thank goodness.
I know, thank God. I would not want to do the rest of this. But his body is then dragged through the streets of Florence. He's then decapitated, and someone thinks it's a great idea to use his head as a door knocker in the Palazzo Pazzi, which is like the palazzo that's named after the Pazzi family. So it's like very intentional, like, here's the head of your household. He's now a door knocker. It's wild.
Literally, my note just says, head of a door knocker.
Head of a door knocker. Check out those knockers.
We need to make that into a Halloween decoration.
That'd be so spooky. Just like, knock here.
Just
for candy.
Just put your finger in the mouth, grab your tongue, and just knock.
Yeah, that's intense. So I can't imagine, but they all thought this was great. They loved seeing the dead bodies, like, you know, hung up for everyone to see. They thought this was funny, having the decapitated head in the piazza.
So funny.
And wait, no, it's not all. It's not all.
Oh,
but
it's
his
not over
body.
Yet.
So the head goes in the palazzo, but the body was then thrown into the river Arno, which is like the main river that goes through Florence. And then it was kind of like either fished out or washed up on shore. And it was found by a bunch of children.
Cool.
Yeah. Kids, you know, Florence kids who
Cute.
Just come across this body. Most kids would probably be like, that's gross. I don't really want to have anything to do with it. Mom, like, help.
I have PTSD, Mom. I just saw a dead body
yeah.
float out of the river.
Their anxiety is through the roof. No, no, no. These kids in this time think it's hilarious. We don't know if they know who this is, like who the body is, because it's a decapitated body.
It's decapitated. It's bloated. And
yeah, it's like all swollen from the water.
And it's,
but they decide to string it up and flog it and tear it apart more.
Like, why do I picture this Elizabeth as a kid? Like, oh, cool.
Okay.
Half decomposed dead body.
I never found a dead body and inflicted more pain on it. I did not do anything of the sort. I was.
What's up with these Italian kids in 1478?
They had nothing else to do, I guess. You know, some kids had the internet. Some kids go find dead bodies washed up in the lake.
They threw a back into the river to like, let's be clear. They, in the end,
is that like,
the
right, are you saying it like it's a good thing?
Yeah. They made the right choice, fair, in the end. Yeah. They threw it back in the river. And that was the full cycle of Jacopo.
And Jacopo was no more.
Tortured, hanged, buried, dug up. This is just my notes.
Yeah.
Tortured, hanged, buried, dug up, thrown into a ditch, corpse dragged, hung again, head was a door knocker, thrown in river, thrown back out, flogged, thrown back in. What the hell?
That takes a lot of different parties involved in that. Like, that's not just one person out to get you. That's a lot of people really hating you.
That's so funny to me. It's so sad. Overall, there were 80 executions over this conspiracy.
Right.
And it wasn't all said and done, like, easy peasy, quick and easy. Mm-hmm. Bernardo, who you had mentioned, the guy with the fancy name, he was the one who was stabbing Giuliano.
Can I say his name one more time?
Sure, do it.
Okay. Bernardo Bandini del Baroncelli.
I'm going to call him Bernardo. B-cubed. Or Bernardo.
B-cubed.
He actually got away.
He went all the way to Constantinople. Modern day Istanbul.
Don't sing the song.
Istanbul is Constantinople.
The Sultan in Constantinople recognized him, gets him arrested. He's wearing Turkish clothing at the time, like really trying to assimilate into the natural atmosphere.
No, I'm Turkish. I don't know who this Bernardo character is you're thinking
we
of.
We don't talk about Bernardo.
No.
They bring him back to Florence. He is then hanged on December 29th, 1479.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking over a year later.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Year and a half later. So he actually made it quite far.
And he probably thought he was in the clear.
Had a chance. Must have been the Turkish clothing. Threw him off.
Like, sir, you're clearly Italian. Look how much cheese you consume.
I thought this was actually really beautiful. Leonardo da Vinci made a beautiful sketching of Bernardo while he was being hanged.
It's very pretty.
I actually really like it. You know, I have that little empty frame.
Oh, that's perfect. I'm sure Jake won't mind.
I'll post it. Okay. It's really cute.
And a lot of artists, like, did this on just the sides of buildings, too. They drew pictures of all the people that were
killed. I have another. Botticelli also painted pictures on the walls of the Bargello, which is their prison. He painted pictures of the hangings of Salviati and some of Jacopo's men while they were being hanged. That's so there's art of their executions now.
Truly, Italian Renaissance
style. Like, this is an artistic opportunity. Yeah. This is an artistic opportunity.
And, like, how, you know, it shows how fiercely people defended the Medicis to the point where they're like, I'm going to draw art around these treasonous people being murdered, like, and executed.
Like, zero sympathy for them whatsoever.
Oh, totally.
And the executions didn't stop there.
Yep.
There were even three more executions, June 6th, 1481. So they did not let this go easy. They weren't like, meh, you made a mistake.
Right.
We're talking, 3 years later, they're still rounding up the conspirators and being like, caught you. You were part of this conspiracy. Hanged, tortured, head of a door knocker. Whatever we got to do to
your
body.
They just started selling door knockers on the street at that point.
Send them to the kids. The kids have zero mercy, evidently. So
the kids are the worst ones.
They're like the start of the pinata.
Can I flog it?
And that's how pinatas in Mexico were made.
Yeah. And then the Spanish saw this, took their tradition to modern America. And here we are with pinatas. So all in all, after all this, the Pazzis were not liked, right? Most of them were either killed or escaped. But the Pazzis that were left in the city of Florence, like, who weren't killed, they were really just, like, banished. I mean, they were They were shunned. All their lands, properties were confiscated, taken away. Anything that was named after the Pazzis, like the Palazzo, so any kind of streets or buildings, like they were stripped of their names. No one was allowed to be named Pazzi. Like you had to change your name if a Pazzi. I know. They even said the coat of arms could no longer be used, which is actually really cute. It's like the blue coat. I just want to describe it because it's adorable. But it's a blue coat of arms with two like dolphins. It almost looks like a Pisces sign in the middle and just a big wreath of like lemons around it. It's very happy.
It's like an Easter cake.
Yeah. It's very beautiful. It's like, oh, like here's lemons, here's dolphins, here's blue. And it's very happy.
Stabbing feels, 19 times.
It feels like a Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar. That's what it feels like.
That's the last thing I thought of, but sure.
Which side note, if you've ever seen the Medici crest, it's very interesting. Have you seen it?
No.
It's yellow and it's got like big red blobs or balls on them. And there's a lot of different
big red balls.
Like just like they look like big just red circles. It's not very pretty, in my opinion. It looks like either a pizza. I know.
Deep dish.
Probably a deep dish.
My eyes just turned red.
Sorry, we're not allowed to talk about pizza for a while. And there's like a story about how some like giant bashed into it and created dents in it. Like is kind of the mythology behind it. But most modern historians think that it actually symbolizes the blood orange, which is like kind of makes sense when you compare it with the Pazzi coat of arms, because it's like the lemons are on the Pazzi's one and the blood oranges.
The Pazzi one reminds me of like a wreath you get from Michael's on half clearance discount.
Very
with the
Hobby
coupon
Lobby
code.
Vibes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also closed on Sundays. Very religious.
Are they?
Yeah. Did you know that? Well, that's why they're closed on Sundays. And then there's a whole
I've never tried to go on a Sunday.
Oh, I've only tried to go Sunday. It's like Chick-fil-A where you always forget.
Oh, Hobby Lobby.
Yeah. Not
I thought you meant Michael's. I've never been to a Hobby Lobby.
Ever?
Nope.
I think it's better than Michael's.
I don't even want to open that world because
I'll take you.
Great.
Anyways, we're going to go to the Wrigley Mansion and then I'm going to take you to Hobby Lobby.
Do you have any coupons?
So many coupons. They do all these 40% off days. It's great.
So does Michael's. They're open on Sundays.
Damn. Okay. Anyway,
Medici's versus
going
the
back to the Pazzis and how they were just, again, you couldn't be a Pazzi anymore. Like all their names were even like struck out of public registries. And like, even if you were married to a Pazzi, you had to like, you couldn't like run for public office. Like you couldn't be involved in society. And again, you probably had to either move town or change your name. And even Lorenzo's sister, Bianca, her husband was a Pazzi. He was put under house arrest, and he's married to a Medici.
That gets confusing.
I know.
Where's the loophole?
Exactly. So overall, the what the Pazzis were trying to accomplish obviously did not happen. They thought they were going to assume the power in Florence, be the new Medici clan. But at the end, the Kardashians are too powerful for you.
Also, though, the Pazzis finally do kind of come into power. Might have been like 300 years later.
I was gonna say, a little bit. They're still hung on.
Which is crazy that those generations just like last for so long, especially after them all changing their names and everything.
It's true.
1700s, they kind of resurface.
They do. They come out of the woodwork a bit. But during the time, again, 1400s to 1700s, this really just like strengthened the Medici's power. It proved how loyal people were to them. And it showed how much like influence that specifically Lorenzo had, because the way he was very composed throughout all this, the way he negotiated to get some of these like conspirators back from other countries, like showed how he could deal with like different foreign heads of state, how he kind of he tried to rectify the relationship with the Pope again. He just became like very well regarded in terms of the international stage. And people, again, were just very impressed with the way he, like, continued to protect his family and hold on to his power and wasn't even fazed, really, by this. Like, obviously, I'm sure he misses dear old Giuliano. But people, at the end of the day, respected their family more for this incident, which is wild.
He, like, kind of became more stern over it, too.
Yes.
He was very, like, lenient and soft and forgiving before all of this. And I think it kind of built this hard shell around him.
Right.
And they said he became more stern, more serious, but more powerful, more attentive, like.
Right.
Just.
Diamond heart.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they kind of poured hard steel over him when they cut his throat.
Yeah.
And became a new person.
What a badass scar. You're like, hey, you know how I got this scar right here?
That's the Pazzi conspiracy right there.
Pazzis. Sunday.
April 26th.
During the body of the Christ.
It was not on Easter Sunday, though some say it will be.
And picture like the Godfather, like Marlon Brando. But I was too powerful.
I like good Italian ones. I'm like sad we missed out on like meatballs and
I know.
We did eat cheese, but we always eat cheese.
That's true.
Kind of our hobby. Hobby.
We've been a little inconsistent this season with our meals, but we always come back, you know. We go away from it, we come back.
You can never only know be perfect what we're gonna for do. So long.
It's just so hard to be perfect. But
well, Elizabeth, any final words?
Not today, Megan.
God, that's horrible.
Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano. Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano. Go, go, go. You mixed up a Siciliano. All you Calabrese do the Mambo like a crazy with a hey, Mambo. Don't wanna tarantella. Hey, hey, Mambo. No more mozzarella. Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano. Try an angelada with the fish baccalà. And then hey, Goomba. My love, how you dance the rumba. But take some advice, paisano. Learn how to mambo. If you're gonna be a square, you ain't gonna go nowhere. Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano. Hey, hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano, go, go, Joe. Shake it like a Giovanna. Hello, kissy, did you get happy in the pizza when you mambo Italiano? To go to the school, choose to make it with a beat the bambino. It's like a vino. Kid, you good looking, but you don't know what you're cooking, do you? Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano. Hey, hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano. Ho, ho, ho. You mixed up a Siciliano. Hello, kissy, did you get happy in the pizza when you mambo?